Well, first of all, we're going to read from our Bible. It's always good to read the scriptures before we come to a message or a children's address. Now, I was listening very carefully to the boys and girls, and they read from the portion that I want to read from, which is great. I'm glad to hear that verse being read. And it's Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And I want to read these verses with every one of us here this morning, just for a few moments. So Luke's Gospel, I should say rather chapter 2, not Luke chapter 1. That's not a good start to my message. Luke chapter 2, and I want to read from verse 8. Just a few verses together this morning. Luke's Gospel chapter 2 and verse 8. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. That means they were very afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And we know that God always blesses his holy and precious word to our hearts. Now this time of year, as we come to Christmas, I want to ask the boys and girls a question. Now, first of all, when it comes to questions in our lesson today, put your hand in the air. I know that you know all these things, but let's put our hands in the air. And if you're stuck, well, the adults and the parents and those who are here, it's going to fall onto them to try to help us out with some of these answers. So what do lots of people send each other at this time of year? Apart from presents, we'll just put presents to one side, something else. Cards, yeah? I think that's a great answer. Cards. Do you know, I read up on this, and it's hard to find exactly the precise number, but apparently there are millions upon millions of Christmas cards which are sent. In fact, so big is the range. I read one particular website. It was saying that there are 150 million cards sent in the United Kingdom at this time of year, and another personally, I think they must have a grudge against Christmas cards. They said there are over a billion. And I thought, that can't be right. There can't be a billion Christmas cards sent. But we know there are millions. Millions of Christmas cards. Boys and girls, hand in the air. Have you written Christmas cards this year and maybe sent them to a friend or a family member? Put your hand in the air if you've done that. Don't worry if you haven't. I haven't. In fact, that's wrong. I've written one Christmas card so far this year. And it's not to my wife. No, it was to my mum, and she's probably watching this online, so here's my little part to make her feel better about a few things. I went into the post office the other day with this one Christmas card that was scribbled with my writing that no one can ever read, and I needed one stamp. And I went to the cashier, went to the lady behind the post office. I said, I just want one first car class stamp. And she said, that will be £1.25. And I nearly fell over. £1.25 for one stamp. I needed to look at my phone and was looking up EasyJet to see how much the flights are to go and deliver this card in person, and sort of begrudgingly weighed up my mum, £1.25. What do I do here? I decided to keep the card and give her a phone. No, I sent her a card, don't worry. I put the stamp on the card and I paid £1.25. My children don't have any presents for Christmas. That's all their money spent. So £1.25 for that Christmas card. But it got me thinking about cards that people sent. And when we write Christmas cards, we put a little message inside, don't we? To so-and-so. And I don't know if you write lots of words or just a few words. Have a happy Christmas. Have a lovely time. Don't eat too many mince pies, all those sort of things. And then you sign off and you put your name. Well, I want to talk about the greatest Christmas card that has the greatest message. And for this, I thought, you know what? We need something bigger than just small Christmas cards. We need a special delivery. So I've been hard at work for the last year or so not a year, just a few days this week, crafting these cards for you boys and girls and for everyone who is here. And it's a very special delivery because the person, or we might say really the being who writes these cards, is not a human person, but as we shall see from our passage in Luke 2, it's the words of the angel to the shepherds and the words of many angels as they sing their lovely words. Now, before we go any further, we need to start thinking about these cards. Now, as I was making these Christmas cards, as I always have to do in these stories or addresses, there has to be a little twist. There has to be. And I was thinking, you know what? I need a special stamp. I can't have a regular stamp for these cards. So I scanned people in church. I thought, if I put their face on the card, I'm not too sure if it's going to go down too well. I need to look online for a photo. I had to think about that as well. And really only one person came to mind, because this man worked for many years in a post office. And we all know who this is. Boys and girls, do you know who it is? Who is it, Phoebe? Do you know where he is? Where is he? I know you can't see him. He's there. He's on his side. But here he is. Here he is. And you know what, Stephen? I thought, do I give you second class? Do I give you a specialty delivery? No, you've got first class, Stephen. You're a first class man. That's my present to you. So there we are. We have a special card for our first one. Two, here's the mystery, from Grace Free Presbyterian Church. And look, it says AML par avion. I've even learned French. And it says it's by plane. So this was a very special delivery for the boys and the girls. Now, the only way we're going to find out the message inside the Christmas card is actually working out who it has been written to. Okay? So before we get to the first message, which is one word in a Christmas card, we need to work out who it's written to. Now, these are all characters in the Bible around the Christmas time of year. And I want us to think very carefully. We should have really had a stand for this, but didn't think about that. I have a riddle. Now, I need more hands. Boys and girls, I have chocolate coins. I don't have any more hands left, so this is the limit of my ability right now. If you can solve the riddle, then we get to find out the message, and you get a chocolate coin, okay? Now, I thought, are the riddles too hard? So maybe you've got a Sunday school teacher next to you, or someone can help you. So I hope you guys are on the board as well. You might have to help out the boys and the girls. I want you to listen to the riddle, and this will be the only way of opening our card for our first lesson this morning. Listen very carefully. It's a who am I riddle. I met wise men traveling from the east who spoke of a star as they shared their news, and my heart was troubled deep inside when I heard about the King of the Jews. Do you want to hear it again? Or do you know Eliza was up in a flash? Who is it? King Herod? Do you think it's King Herod, boys and girls? No, it is. It's Herod. Well done. Round of applause for Eliza. I can't clap here. There you go. There's a coin here. Can you catch? I don't want to keep coming down because I'm too old. Can you reach that? There we go. Excellent. Well done, Eliza. Okay, who do we have inside? It's King Herod. We can open the card. And the message is proclaim. That's our first message. Just for a few minutes, boys and girls, as I put this card down, it's the word proclaim. Because what do we read of in our Bibles here in Luke chapter 2? When the angel comes to the shepherds, we find that there is a message which the angel proclaims. What the angel is saying. You see, what I do every single week is what the angel is doing. I come with a message from God's word. The preacher proclaims. The message, boys and girls, has something to say. And you know, the angel's news to the shepherds was the most important news we can hear. Do you know why? Because it was news, boys and girls, and all of us here, I want to listen to this. It was news that takes away fear. You notice how the angel says, fear not, to these shepherds. Right there in verse 10, the angel says to them, fear not. And I think to myself, and maybe boys and girls who can help me here, why were the angels, or why were the shepherds afraid when they saw the angel? Why were they afraid? Can you think of any answers? Eliana? because they were sent from heaven. I think that's a pretty good answer. So they were sent from heaven. Anything else, Abigail? Okay, so they were sent from God or something like that, yeah. I think you girls have really got the answer there. They were afraid, and I think this is often forgotten at the Christmas time of year. One of the mistakes or problems that sometimes we have when we think of angels is we tend to think of angels, don't we, how we see them sometimes on cartoons or TV, and these sort of white beings with, you know, pretty wings, and they're flying around. That's actually not the case. The angels in the Bible, actually, in a sense, it will be quite terrifying. These are beings they've never seen before. The Bible calls them ministering spirits. And they were not expecting a visit from an angel of the Lord, as the Bible says. And it got me thinking about this. The shepherds in their field by night, and they're looking after their flock, and they see the angel of the Lord, and it puts fear, boys and girls, and every one of us, into their hearts, because they are in the presence of holy beings. Can I ask a question? How much more in the presence of God? Again, it's a mistake often made by lots of people that profess to be Christians, that we forget that when the Bible shows us encounters that men and women and even boys and girls can have with God, often it says, the Bible says, that people fall down their faces and that they are filled with fear because they feel and they know their sinfulness. How can we stand before a holy God? Well, we can't left to ourselves. It's why we need salvation and why we need Jesus Christ. And so the message proclaimed. They proclaimed news that took away fears, but something else, it was news that brought great joy. Verse 10 says, I bring to you tidings of great joy. Do you know that simply means this? The angel of the Lord was saying, I evangelize you. I bring you the gospel. I bring you the message which saves. And what's so very special about this message and this proclamation is that when it's a great tidings of great joy or good tidings of great joy, he says it's to all people. And the idea is that the shepherds were not to keep it to themselves, boys and girls, but they were to make it known to others. It was for the whosoever. It was for Jews and non-Jews. It was for boys and girls. It was for men and women. It was for old and young. It was for near and for far. And the angel says, don't be afraid. I come with great news. I have the message of hope, and it's to all people. I'm glad that the message that the children have sang about and have spoken about today is a message for the parents, the grandparents, the brothers and sisters. It is the message we all must hear and know. And that's what the Lord wants us to think about. God has proclaimed the gospel. He set forth the message of life. Question is, do we know it? And having heard it, do we believe it? And having said we believe it, do we follow it and live it out all the days of our life? So card number one is the word proclaim. Boys, what is it after three? One, two, three? Proclaim, okay? Proclaiming the good news. Let's get to our second card. I have Stephen once again. I wasn't going to change my approach. So there you are, Stephen. You appear once more in your lovely form there in that first class stamp. But we have our second riddle, and we have another coin, a gold coin, boys and girls, a gold coin, a lot more expensive than the red coin, but same thing inside, okay? Right, riddle number two for the boys and the girls here. Who am I? When a child was promised to me in old age, my husband doubted and his words were gone. But God proved true and sent us a son to prepare the king's way. His name was John. What do you reckon, Lincoln? Well, that is a brilliant answer. Well done. Come and get your coin. There you go. Excellent. Let's just make sure that we're correct. Is it Elizabeth? There we go. That was a great answer. His name was John. Well, we're going to think about another person, aren't we? We have proclaim, and what's this word here? Person. How is it person? I wonder, boys and girls, what person are we going to be thinking about just now? What person? What do you reckon? That's right. The Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be thinking about him. Because let's look at our Bibles again. If you've got your Bibles, read with me. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And the angel's message is all about him. Now, I'm going to say something. This is more important than we ever realize. This time of year that we think of as being Christmas, it reminds us of him. But I want to say something to you. When it comes to January and February, and when it comes to March, and we're getting really tired of the dark nights and the cold and the rain, it comes to April and May and June, and the sun comes, and it comes round to summer and September. Every month, every day, Christianity is all about him. And can I encourage you, and also challenge you, that you do not make your thoughts about Christ only something about one time of year. If you're truly a Christian, it will always be about him. It will be everything to do with him. And that's what the angel's message is. And the angel's message about the person of our Lord Jesus is so important because it's where he's from and what he will do. Well, where is he from? The city of who, boys and girls? The city of, what do you reckon, Micah? The city of David? Do you know why that message was really important? Because the angel is reminding the shepherds of where Jesus is going to be from, his family line, showing us that he's truly human. He's human. He has our humanity. He is our flesh and our blood. And then he says, he's Christ the Lord. He's the promised one. He's the mighty God. And this is why the person, boys and girls, and all the adults are here, of Jesus Christ is the most important, significant person of all history, because he's the only person with these two natures, God and man. And lots of people don't know why. Lots of people know heart, the herald angels sing, and you know, veiled in human flesh, and the one who is the almighty God. But if really we ask the question, why must he be both God and man? I think that's where most people get stuck. And that is the heart of Christmas and the incarnation. He must be must have our humanity, and he must be God himself, so that he can represent us and die in our place for our sins and yet make reconciliation unto God. He must be perfect and yet take the sins of his people. And only one who is both God and man can do this. If you learn anything about Christmas and the incarnation, remember his person, where he is from, and what will he do? What was the angel's message, boys and girls? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a, what do you reckon? A savior, excellent. A savior who is Christ the Lord. And a savior saves. And a savior rescues. And remember the greatest need that we have, all of us here. Okay, so let's all listen now. The greatest need that we all have as we sit here in the house of God is that we need rescued. We need delivered. We need to be saved. There needs to be intervention. And many people think, okay, I can do it myself. No. No, we can't do it ourselves. Do you know why we can't do it ourselves? Because God requires perfection. He said, that's unfair. No, this is God's holy standard. He's the almighty God, and he requires perfection. And that means we're all imperfect, we're all sinners. We need to be lifted to him. Christ is the Savior. He lifts us to God. I wonder, boys and girls, is he your Savior? And I wonder, parents, is he your Savior? And I wonder, friends and family members, is he your Savior? That's the message that the angel brings, a Savior. You can have everything else. You can have anyone else. You can have all things in this world. But if you don't have him, you don't have life. You need a savior. Well, we come to our last envelope. And you know what? This envelope, again, it has our brother Stephen on it. It's the same thing. There he is. One more time, just in case we don't know what Stephen looks like, we can see him. And we have our next envelope. And we have our last riddle. And I wonder if the boys and the girls can help me just one more time to get a coin. Right, riddle number three as we come to a finish here. Are you listening, boys and girls? Yeah, you're going to say yes? Are you listening? Are you awake? That's good. Okay, let's go. An angel appeared to me three times to calm my fears and direct my way. When my wife brought forth her firstborn son, I called his name Jesus, as the angel did say, Phoebe. It is, it's Joseph. Red or gold? Red, there you go. Okay, let's make sure we're right here. There you go. I'm relieved that I've got the right words on the envelopes. You know, I make mistakes quite often. There you go, Phoebe. Yeah, she kept me in suspense there. You're hanging over the edge. Right, okay, so what do we reckon the next word is going to be, boys and girls? It begins with P, okay? So we've got proclaim, we've got person. What do you think it is? What do you think? It's not an easy one, I'll give you that. But if you get it, you can get a coin. That's not bribery, that's just rewarding you, by the way. Caleb, what do you reckon? Promise, not bad. I see the parents going, it was promise. No, it wasn't promise. Abigail. What was that? Say it again. I think you were close, actually. Yeah, I think that's what I... Did you read my cards, Abigail? Did you read the card? No, it's purpose. How did you get that word? That was amazing. R-A-K, well, there's a coin. Gold or red, Abigail? There you go. That was excellent. Well done. Well, that was a good jump as well. So hang on to her for life and put her up. Okay, so purpose. That was brilliant. I'm amazed. You literally throw me off. I thought no one was... I was banking on having that coin myself when I got home. And I've got no chocolate to eat. Oh, there's a few red ones. I'll eat those ones. Okay, so purpose. We're going to think about purpose as we finish. And this brings us to our last verse as we think about one of my favorite verses in the Bible when it comes to this particular time of year. And it's verse 13 and 14. And you know what? Every time, boys and girls, I try to think about this scene, I realize I can't imagine what it was ever like. Suddenly the Bible says there was a heavenly host. A heavenly number of angels. I mean, one angel, that's enough. The angel of the Lord. But now the whole sky is lit up. And they sing. Ah, they sing. And as they sing, they speak. And they have a message. And the Bible says there was a multitude of the heavenly host. And this is my favorite part. Praising God. Praising God. It's not about angels. And it's really not about Mary. It's not about Joseph. It's about the Savior. It's about God. It's about his great message. It's about his purpose, boys and girls. And all of us who are here as we come to a close, his purpose. What is the great purpose? The purpose is to glorify God. That's what it is. The birth of our Lord Jesus, his life and his death and his resurrection is all about glory to God in the highest. It's about giving glory to him. And I say, if you are a Christian, you know and love the Lord, your whole life is to be fixed on that. How can I glorify him? How can I praise him? How can I be that which is good and pleasing in his sight? Not to earn salvation, because we realize we can't do that, but because he saved me. And I want to glorify him in the highest. And the angels, that's their song. The angels' song. That's got to be our song. And that's got to be our purpose. And then we have something else about this purpose. Not only does salvation bring glory to God, it does that. But the purpose of God in the gospel is to show us that there is such a thing as peace on earth to men and women. And that was the other aspect of the purpose of the gospel. It brings glory to God. The good news praises God. And when we sing our hymns and we read our Bibles and we hear men preaching the word of God, you make sure that what you sing and what you read and what you hear glorifies God. That's the key thing. And then you make sure that what the message is shows us that there is the reality of peace on earth. Here's something to think about, and we'll read this verse as we finish. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Many people make a mistake this time of year. And people that don't really think about the gospel, they say, well, okay, so Christmas is all about the kindness and the gestures of people towards others. Well, let's remember we should be kind towards people all the time. That's the right thing to do. And when we think about this message, as we finish, boys and girls, we're doing so well, peace on earth. God isn't promising that he brings wars to an end. Wars still take place, unfortunately. It's only when the Lord comes that will all be dealt with. And there will be sad things which will happen, and there will be sometimes horrible things that can happen. So there's something else in this message that's even more important than wars coming to an end and people getting on with each other in the world. But what is this peace on earth? It's peace with God. You see, our great problem is that in our hearts, we're at war with God. As long as we aren't saved, we don't want him, we don't desire him. And so glad everyone is here to see their loved ones take part. But the question I want you to think about as I speak to you a bit more directly as adults, in your heart, are you at war with God? In your heart, do you want him and Christ and his salvation? That's a very hard question. And you say, well, Pastor, my heart is at war. I feel my sin, I know my sin, and I'm not ready for my death. Well, God says there's such a thing as peace for you. Peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when the angels say goodwill towards men on earth, what they're saying is this: the greatest demonstration of the kindness and the goodness of God's will to this world is not giving us what we think we need, but giving us what we need in Christ. We need to be made right with God. We need his great salvation. The angel's message, the greatest Christmas card, to proclaim a person and a purpose. And I trust that God will speak to you, boys and girls and adults who are here, through each of these words. May thank you for listening, and may God bless his precious word to our hearts. Now we're going to sing together our last hymn. I think Stephen has to say a few things after our closing prayer as well. But our last hymn is number 79.